All right, it's the broadcast for God's Grace for You. It should be aired on Tuesday, the date on the label. All right, we are back again. This is Pastor Greg Durrell, pastor of Heritage Bible Church. We'll be with you all this week answering some verses that have cropped up, dealing with the issue of this spiritual phenomenon known as tongues. Now, we will offer you and continue to offer you the book this week called The Gospel. We'll send that to you free, postpaid to you. Do or also the fact sheet on tongues. We'll send that to you as well. You can have both or either one, up to you, simply by calling us here, Heritage Bible Church, 392-4900. You can go to the website, heritagebiblechurch.com, or you can come by and see us or write us a letter. We're at 785 Heritage Avenue. We're in Tarrytown, Louisiana. The zip code is 70056. As always, we invite your questions, your comments, your replies. And again, let me take a moment just to thank so many of you that have written and emailed and called with kind words and letters of encouragement, etc. I won't say that, but you've just inferred that a lot of people wouldn't deal with issues that affect so many because some things are said to be not politically correct or, you know, they're not popular. Well, again, as Paul would tell you, that if you're going to please men, you can't please God. And the admonition to present the whole counsel of God. Obviously, things are important. I think this issue is important because, as we've shared with you over the last 3 weeks, that when it's misunderstood, it can be very, very damaging to the body of Christ. And it's the root cause of so much heresy today. Not the root cause of all, but so much of it. You have the proliferation of all sorts of hoodwinking con men and such. And their, their bona fides, their banner of authority, their credentials is simply this tongues phenomenon. Nothing more, nothing less. As a result, the flock is fleeced. All sorts of people wind up in all sorts of ridiculous situations. And people think, in the name of Jesus, they're doing something good. Now, it may make you feel good, and obviously the God of this world sees to it that anything that is not biblical feels good. It has some catch to it, some hook to it, otherwise it wouldn't succeed. So what we're trying to do is make you look at the Scripture. Look at the Scripture. Look at it in context. I can't emphasize that enough. Look at it in context. And not only should you look at the Scripture, look at church history as well. But you remember, the Bible is the authority. No secondary source ever contradicts a primary source. So you don't let something further down, whether it's 100 years or 1900 years in church history, correct the Word of God. Benny Hinn can't sit in judgment on the book of Job, as he thinks he can, or the book of Genesis, as he thinks he can. That's heretical, and we have to be mature enough to recognize when these things are wrong, and when they're wrong, we need to say it and act accordingly. Not be so bashful as to say, well, gee, I can't say if something's unbiblical. If it's unbiblical, it's unbiblical. End of story. It's not about personalities. It's not about any of that. It's not about one-upmanship. It's about what is authoritative and what is not, and certainly the Word of God is authoritative. Now, another thing has popped up in 1 Corinthians 14. A person says, well, what do you do with 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, where Paul says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. All right, my question to you then is simply this. What do you do with that? Well, let me tell you what people do with that. Let me twist the Scripture, as many do. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, as twisted by so many people today. What is it then? I will pray in tongues, and I will pray with my understanding. I will sing in tongues, and I will sing with my understanding. Now, that's how it's twisted. Now, is that what it says? Is that what it says in your Bible? Now, if that is not what it says in your Bible, then perhaps you need to back up a little bit. Let's go to verse 13. Paul says, wherefore. Wherefore. Now, Paul is making another point here. He's bringing us to another little conclusion here. Now, he says, wherefore, following verse 12. Verse 12 says, even so you, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual things, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church, of the congregation. Now, he says, you may be zealous for spiritual things, but your priority here is to edify all those around you. So he says, wherefore, let him that speaketh, not him that prayeth, him that speaketh in a language unknown to the congregation. Remember, unknown here is in italics. It's in italics here because it's not in the text. So he's not talking about a language not known by anybody on the planet, not known by anyone except God. That's number one. Number two, he's not praying it, is he? He's speaking in it. So he says, he that speaketh in a language not known to the congregation, pray that he may interpret. And not she may interpret, because she's got to be quiet. Pray that he may interpret. Not the Holy Spirit may interpret. Pray that you speaking may interpret. So if you're going to speak to the congregation in the language the congregation does not understand, then you better pray first that you can interpret what you're going to say. Why? Well, because if not, you're being selfish. You're violating the word of God. How can anyone else be edified by what you're saying if you won't interpret or can interpret what you're saying? Then, moreover, why are you speaking to them in it? If you don't know what you're saying and they don't know what you're saying, why are you going to tell them that? For what purpose? You say, well, it's God, the Holy Spirit. No, it isn't. Nowhere in this chapter does the Holy Spirit take over anybody's volition. You're making that up if you're saying that. It's not in the text. It's not in the chapter before. It's not in the chapter after. It's not alluded to anywhere. As a matter of fact, the chapter later on rebukes that concept. Paul tells you that's not true towards the end of this chapter, and we've been through it already. So he says, wherefore let him, not her, him that speaketh in a language not known to the congregation, pray that he may interpret. Paul says, for if I pray in a language not known to the congregation, he says, my spirit prayeth. What is Paul saying? Doesn't say the Holy Spirit prays, does he? He's praying. Now, he says, but my understanding is unfruitful. He says, now, why in the world am I going to pray so in front of all of these people if I don't understand what's being said and they don't understand what's being said? What is the purpose of that? Verse 15, he says, what is it then? He says, I will pray with the Spirit. Doesn't say I will pray with tongues, does he? Doesn't say that at all. He says, I will pray with the Spirit, literally, but also I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, but also I will sing with the understanding. Do you think for a moment that what Paul just said is this? Paul says, well, listen, what I'm going to do then is I'm going to pray in a language that you can't understand. And then I'm going to pray and interpret it for you. And then I'm going to sing in a language that you can't understand, so you can't be edified. But then I'm going to turn around and I'm going to sing in a language that you can be edified by. You think that's what Paul's saying? You can't honestly believe that. Paul is saying what? I'm going to speak in the native tongue of the people. If it's an English congregation, I'm going to pray in English. I'm going to sing in English. If it's a Spanish congregation, I'm going to pray in Spanish. I'm going to sing in Spanish. Nowhere is this about God the Holy Spirit doing anything supernaturally in the life of an individual, taking over their volition and communicating to the congregation. Nowhere is that to be found. Nowhere is that to be found. And if you think it is, again, well, there's not much I can do for you, but you certainly do not claim to be biblical. Do not claim to be contextual. Don't think for a moment that you've got line upon line, precept upon precept, because you do not. Because you do not. You are simply tweaking and twisting and promoting things to fit your preconceived notion. You perhaps have to justify something you've been taught. Can you imagine? There's a guy out, Kenneth Copeland, I think, wonderful Bible expositor. I'm being facetious. He's just horrific heretic. But he has a book out teaching people how they can learn to speak in tongues. Well, I thought it was a gift. I thought it was a supernatural gift that God gave you. How can you learn it? I mean, if you can learn it, it can't be of God, right? He wrote a book on how you can learn it. You can learn to do it. You know, friends, there's so many things like this that abound. They have no basis in biblical truth or biblical reality. And what we find, it's very, very destructive. Someone says, well, no, these congregations are huge and they're growing. But they're growing absent of the gospel. And we find the ecumenical flame burns bright in these situations. Burns bright. I mean, we find people who gravitate to this defend heretical teachings. They defend false gospels. They defend the Philistines. They embrace carnality. Why? All in the name of some spiritual phenomenon that has no place in the congregation, certainly. Now, is there a biblical side to it? Certainly, there was a biblical side. We're looking at abuse here. We're looking at gross abuse. This is what Paul is correcting here at the church at Corinth. He is correcting it. But we find abuse today that far surpasses the church at Corinth. I mean, what the church of Corinth did in this respect was very mild compared to what we see today. I mean, what we see today is open blasphemy. The church at Corinth never claimed that God supernaturally was speaking through them. Never. That's nowhere here to be found. You have people today that claims that, you know, God just spoke through so-and-so and interpreted through so-and-so, and as we've been pointing out for weeks, then that's something given by inspiration of God. That is Scripture. Please, write it down for me. Let me stick it in my Bible. But I challenge you, do an exit poll. Wait till all's said and done and the dust settles and everybody's leaving. Say, hey, what did God say today when he spoke to us? Oh, brother, it was wonderful. But what did he say? Oh, it was powerful. What did he say? Can you say it back to me? What did you take notes? What did he say? And watch the looks that you'll get. Or it's something that's has no bearing on anything at all, something that's frivolous. The point is, that is not the point. That's not the issue here. That's not what Paul is teaching. It's not what Paul says. Now, if you would like the book, The Gospel, or you'd like the fact sheet on the issue of tongues, we will send it to you free. Give us a call, 392-4900, or go to the website, heritagebiblechurch.com, or come by and see us. But most importantly, as always, we invite you to call a friend and join us tomorrow at this same time.